الحمد لله، الحمد لله ذي الجلال والإكرام والطول والإنعام، حثنا على التعاون وجعله من الأخلاق العظام. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له الملك البر السلام، وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا محمدًا عبد الله ورسوله. فاللهم صل وسلم وبارك على حبيبنا وشفيعنا ورسولنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وعلى من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه العزيز: واعتصموا بحبل الله جميعا ولا تفرقوا. وقال الله عز وجل في شان حبيبه مخبرا وآمرا: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم وصلي عليه. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله، وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. Infinite, abundant and most perfect praise and glory is solely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And salutations and peace and blessings be upon His most noble, most beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and upon His purified and righteous family and the righteous companions and all of those who follow sincerely in the footsteps of Islam. Alhamdulillah, this is a beautiful, sacred, prestigious, honorable and blessed day of Jumu'ah, in which we have been gathered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remember Him, to praise Him, and to remember the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to learn more of what our deen requires us to do, to illuminate our hearts, to satisfy our minds, and to find success in this dunya and also in the hereafter. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our sincere intentions and efforts and deeds, and make this day, make this moment a means for our success and salvation in this dunya and also in the hereafter. First and foremost, it's lovely to be back. I'm sure you may have missed me perhaps, but nevertheless I did miss you whilst I was away. And I thought it would be a good opportunity to start off from where I left off, or rather from where the events began after I left. And we all know, for the last few weeks especially, an event that took place, a great tragedy that took place, which is dear to all of us in our hearts, in our minds, is the tragedy and the event that took place in New Zealand. So inshallah al-aziz, today we will try to find some closure. We will try to understand the events that took place and also try to establish the necessary steps that will enable us to heal, that will enable us to move forward and enable us to strengthen the bonds of brotherhood and sisterhood, strengthen and protect and safeguard our community and also our future. First and foremost, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the glorious and timeless and most perfect kalam in the Quran al-Majeed, He states that وَاعْتَسِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا, that hold firmly to the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to all of the sha'air, to all of the ahkamat, to all of the intrinsic and extrinsic aspects of the Quran and the embodiment of the Quran, which is none other than the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Hold on fast to them, to the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and never and do not become divided in any manner whatsoever. And this is the time, especially, rather for many, many centuries, where we need to urge each other and urge the Muslim Ummah to unite. Because within unity is our success. Within unity is our falah. Within unity is barakah. Everything is in the unity, in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and following the beautiful deen of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. For this extremist, for this terrorist, he did not look at who was a Sufi, he did not look at who was from a particular sect or tribe or clan. He just saw Muslims and he did what he wanted to do. So this is why it's very important for us all to overlook and overcome these small differences, the ikhtilafah that we have, whether in fiqh, whether in tafaseer or hadith or various other things. This is part of the color and beauty of our deen, that we have differences and various approaches, and thus we have the four a'imma and many other a'imma before that and after that as well. But nevertheless, we all unite on the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We may differ in where we place our hands, whether on our chest or below our navel or to our side. We may differ in small, minute, insignificant aspects of fiqh, but our hearts are all united for each other. And this is why the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam stated in the hadith that when one person is injured, or one person feels the pain, then the entire ummah, all of the brotherhood and the sisterhood of Islam, the ummah of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, feels that pain as well. And whether you are related or not, on a scale of being a Muslim, on a scale of being a father or a son or a daughter or a sister, in every particular manner, you felt their pain and their suffering. And also, on the level of being human, you feel the suffering and their pain as well. So for the past few weeks, unfortunately, we have been constantly bombarded by the media. And some of it positive, and some people have used this opportunity for a negative manner. But nevertheless, our screens have been flickering with the awful carnage that took place. And we sensed, as human beings, as Muslims, we sensed this fear. Oh my God, what is happening in the masjid, in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? These people are unarmed, they are harmless, they are innocent people who have left everything to come to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we felt this fear, we felt this anger and this pain at such a huge loss. But the question is, what do you do with that pain? What do you do with that fear? What do you do with that anguish and that anxiety? What do you do with all of those things? And how do you overcome that? And how do you move forward? And this was attack. Yes, specifically, it was attack on Muslims for their faith, for their culture, for their way of life. But also, it was attack on humanity, because we are all from Bani Adam. We have all been created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. So different people from different cultures and different ethnicities and different religions have felt it on a human scale. And we have felt it on a human scale, as well as a spiritual and a religious and an emotional and a physical scale as well, because we are part of the one body of the ummah of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And the intentions and the objectives of that terrorist, of that white supremacist, of that far-right individual, was to spread his evil ideology, was to create a clash in cultures, between groups, between religions, and also between the government, and create an uprising. And we have seen consequently in here in the UK as well, the percentage of Islamophobia attacks are on the rise as a result of this individual. But nevertheless, we as Muslims, we cannot allow his message to be propagated. We cannot allow him to succeed in his mission and his objective. We must show solidarity. We must remain steadfast. We must remain united and remember that every single one of us belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And every single one of us shall return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore we reassure ourselves with this dua, and we share this dua with our fellow brethren and our sisters, that inna lillah وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. And we remind ourselves that it is life and death is solely in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these people who were martyred, these are the shuhada who will be raised in this state of ibadah on the day of Qiyamah. These people, yes, they have suffered and their families have suffered, but there is a great reward awaiting them when they will return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first thing that we need to do, and I'm sure you've thought about these and discussed these with your family and friends, but nevertheless, it's important to share these collective messages out to the wider community, that the first thing that we as Muslims, after doing that dua and listening to the terrible things that have taken place, is remain calm and to remain patient. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, He mentions that يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. That, O you who believe, find your strength, find your himmah, find your taqa, find your ability to overcome these tragedies and these atrocities in your life, first and foremost through patience. Because by you reacting, by you screaming and shouting, would only harm you and also harm the other people as well, because it creates greater anxiety and stress in your immediate surroundings, in your community. But by being patient, by understanding the situation and scenario, and turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He is the one who can heal your wounded heart. He is the one who can comfort you. He is the one who can remove this anxiety and stress. And this is why the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam would always turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember when he went to Taif and he turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After those people, they pelted him with stones and he was bleeding profusely from his head and from his feet. He turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and said, "Oh Allah, I turn to you and I do my shikwa to you. Who else can I turn to?" So we need to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rather than shout and scream and point the finger. It will not change the facts. It will not change the series and the change of events. But rather we should remain steadfast and patient to show that how big our dil, our heart, our jigra, our himma is, and how we face the dunya, and how we will know that our reward is assuredly with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So first and foremost, to be patient. And true patience, the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala wasallam mentions, that true patience is the under the first sadma. You know, when you first are afflicted with something, that is true patience. Not a day later, a week later, a month later, where you calm down and then you say, "Okay, now I'm patient." At that very moment, that is the time for you to demonstrate and illustrate patience. And then to turn to prayer. And this is why we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do dua for all of those people who have been martyred. We do dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant them a high place in Jannah. And then also to grant those people who are left behind, to grant them patience, to grant them perseverance, and to grant their heart stability and sukoon. Because indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with those who are patient. So this is the first step in all tragedies, in all calamities in the dunya that you may face, to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through prayer and patience. Then the second thing to understand and to do is to overcome the anger and the humiliation and the sense of insecurity and the sense of anxiety and pain, to overcome all of that by remembering the verse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. That do not despair and do not lose hope and do not grieve. If you truly and sincerely believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will be the ones who will be the most raised and elevated before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these people who have suffered this calamity, who have suffered this great tragedy in their life, rather than sitting at home and crying and weeping and mourning, they remain steadfast and have their hope and yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will be the most highest and elevated of people in the dunya and also in the hereafter. This is the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To overcome, the third step, to overcome the pain by remaining united. You know, when you remain united and you share your sorrow and you share your pain, then it is easier. When you offload and you share these things, then it's easier, because other people who have a greater strength, greater himmah, greater experience or age, they will support you and comfort you and they will raise you. And they will say, it's okay. And this is why we go to our parents. No matter how old you may be, whenever something happens to you, you go to your parents. And even though your parents may not be able to do anything for you, they will hug you, they will embrace you, they will reassure you, and because of that you feel lighter and you feel like you can take on the world, you feel like you can move on from this particular tragedy and calamity. And this is why we need to remain united as one body, as the ummah of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And alhamdulillah, many scholars from America, many scholars from the UK and Europe that I know of personally, went to New Zealand to support our brothers and to support our sisters and say, do not grieve and do not worry, we have been sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are here, we will support you and help you and do whatever we can within our capacity. We can do the same by remaining united, by doing dua and strengthening the bonds with each other as well, so that if anything were to happen, you would be the first one to support your brother and sister as well. We need to support each other economically, we need to support each other by creating safe neighborhoods, safe society, and free ourselves and our hearts and our minds from hatred and malice and discrimination and all of these other things. When you do that and overcome these barriers, you will only get closer and closer to the other individual, irrespective of the color of their skin, of their background, or their culture, or where they hail from. Because of these things, you will be united, and because of that, you will be able to overcome so many other obstacles in your life. And the fourth thing, which is absolutely crucial for our youngsters to understand, and also for our elders to encourage within the youngsters as well, is to come to the masjid even more so. Just because what happened in a masjid, happened on the day of Jumu'ah, does not mean that that's it. You know, keep your children safe at home, lock the door and say, that's it, you know, you're not going to go to the masjid anymore. Any person could come and do anything like that. No, have your yaqeen, have your iman, have your tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you should excessively and abundantly be visiting the masajid, the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the hadith narrated in Sahih Muslim, the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam states that, أَحَبُّ الْبِلَادِ إِلَى اللَّهِ. That the most beloved places to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is masajiduha, are the masajid. These are the most beloved places of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa abghadul bidari ila Allah, and the most hated or despised or disliked places to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, aswaquha, are the markets. So rather than say, ja putar ja, go on Wimsler Road and have a meal and do this and do that and spend your time and all your free time in the streets, in the alleyways and online and in the markets, you should be encouraging your children and your family to spend their time in the masajid. Because this is where you'll find sukoon. This is where you'll do your salah. This is where you will do your ibadah. This is where you'll do the tilawah of the Quran. This is where you will find somebody who will give you a shoulder to support yourself. This is where you'll find all of the answers to all of your problems and difficulties in your life, is in the masajid. But when you leave the masajid and think you'll be protected in the dunya, no. And the masajid are the most blessed places of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because in the Quran Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, وَمَنْ دَخَلَهُ كَانَ آمِنًا. Whosoever enters into the sacred haram, he is protected. And similarly, this is a shaykh, this is a furu, this is an extension of the haram as well. This is the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we are also protected here by the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and will be raised by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah due to our ibadah, due to our worship. So this is something that we need to really encourage in our children, that we need to visit the masajid and we need to make them abad and assist in maintaining the masajid and frequently visit them as much as possible, because this is where our fala is, where our baqa is, where our success is. And the fifth aspect to this tragedy is to understand, or attempt to at least understand, the wisdom, the hikmah behind this particular tragedy and why it unfolded and why it happened and how it happened. And one of the things that you can understand is from the hadith of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, when he states that this matter will certainly reach, and the matter is related to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the call to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This matter will certainly reach every place touched by the night and the day, So there is no place on this dunya where the deen of Islam will not enter, whether by day or whether by night. Whether you say that directly or indirectly, in person, via email, electronically, on the media, some manner, some form, our deen will reach far and wide throughout the world, day and night. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not leave a house except that He will cause this religion to enter it, by which the honorable will be honored and the disgraceful will be disgraced. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will honor the honorable with Islam and He will disgrace the disgraceful with disbelief. And as a consequence, just one of the things to understand, as a consequence of what happened, the azan was read on live TV, broadcasted throughout all of New Zealand and also throughout the world, where this person didn't want people to know what's going on in a masjid and who Muslims are and what they do and how they pray. The whole world was seeing the azan broadcasted on TV. They were hearing the khutbah broadcasted on TV. They were seeing the peaceful movements and the unity of the Muslims when they come and they stood in khushu and khudu, and they stood shoulder by shoulder, side by side, and did the ruku and did the sujood and did the dua. This is what they saw as a result of that person's actions. And so many other things took place as well, where people, out of respect, started wearing the hijab, out of respect, started safeguarding and protecting the masajid, out of respect, and did so many other things. And also people started to learn about Islam, and many, many people in the local area of New Zealand and also worldwide as well started embracing Islam as well as a result of this. So as they say, there's always a silver lining, but in all of the hukums of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in all of the events that transpire in the dunya, there is always a greater plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, something far greater than our imagination, than our comprehension and our fathom. There's always hikmah. So this is one of the things that we can understand, that out of this tragedy, look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has expanded Islam in the hearts of non-Muslims and allowed people to really understand what Islam truly is. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reassuring us in the Quran again, وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ, that do not feel defeated. Many people did feel that, and this is a natural emotion and feeling to have after such a tragedy that took place in New Zealand. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, do not feel defeated and do not grieve. In reality, you are elevated. Those people have been elevated. Those people have been dignified. And Islam has been elevated. And Islam has been further dignified, because inna deena inda Allah in Islam. The deen according to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Islam. So as long as you keep your faith and as long as you remain firm believers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never allow you or your deen to be defeated. So this is something that we can take back from the events that have transpired in New Zealand, and not to lose our faith or to give in to fear. Because something, what happens sometimes when a tragedy happens, for example, when there's a car accident, the first thing parents does, you can't drive at this time now. You give me your car keys. Make sure you do this. And restrictions come on to a child. You can't do this, you can't do this. Why? For your safety. But for us as Muslims, as parents, we need to make sure that we strengthen the iman of our children and encourage them to go to the masjid more. Encourage them to remain united more. Encourage them to participate in all of the activities of the masjid as well. Remember, in the battle of Khandaq, in the battle of the trench, there was just merely one trench between the Muslims and between the non-Muslims, where there was thousands and thousands of people waiting to kill and annihilate the Muslims at that time. But in spite of that, that impending death, none of the Muslims lost faith. None of the Muslims feared them and said, okay, that's it, let's just leave Islam and save ourselves and our lives. No, but because of their steadfastness, because of their yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewarded their faith. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewarded their steadfastness and their ability and rescued them from complete and total annihilation, and provided them with aid and victory and a miraculous means of success. And this is the same for us as well. By you encouraging your children, by you coming to the masjid, by you strengthening the iman of your children, you will undoubtedly find success in this dunya, and you will undoubtedly and assuredly find success in the hereafter when we return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And another aspect to remember from this particular tragedy is that why did it happen on Jumu'ah? What is the significance of Jumu'ah? Because the day of Jumu'ah is actually a play. When I say a play, it means it's a reconstruction of how we will be on the day of Qiyamah. We'll be stood up before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we will be presented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So every time we come to the masjid, it is we are reminding ourselves that this is what will happen to us in the thousands and millions and billions. You will be raised shoulder to shoulder, standing up before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the victims and the martyrs of New Zealand, they passed away in the most beloved place to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the masjid. أَحَبُّ الْبِلَادِ إِلَى اللَّهِ مَسَاجِدُهَا. Sahih Muslim. The most beloved place to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is his masjid. So they passed away in the most beloved place to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on the most beloved day to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when creation began, when Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam was created, when the day of Qiyamah will take place, when all of these events, they will take place on the day of Jumu'ah. So it is a huge significance for us to understand why we come to Jumu'ah, why we have been gathered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why we stand shoulder to shoulder. All of these things are to train us and to prepare us for Yawmuddin, is the day of resurrection, is the day of return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these people, don't just think of them as victims, these people on the most blessed place, on the most blessed day, in the most blessed form of worship, which is none other than the ibadah and the salah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it was a great honor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed them with. And when you see it like this, and you see it in a positive manner, you can reassure your heart, you can strengthen your iman, and you can comfort yourself and realize that there is a hikmah behind all of the actions and affairs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we must understand and remain steadfast and remain positive and continue to work towards the day of Qiyamah, towards the great day of gathering when we'll be gathered before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The eighth point from this particular event is that to realize that Islamophobia is not a new thing. Double and triple standards are not a new thing against Muslims. Discrimination and prejudice, all of these are not new things. These in part and parcel from the beginning of Islam, from what happened in Mecca, what happened in Taif, what happened in Medina, in all of the other places, these double standards and triple standards were always there. Just this morning, I was listening to the BBC on TV, live TV, where they mentioned that today in New Zealand they are remembering the event that took place where a gunman killed 50 people. That's all they said. They didn't say a terrorist, a white Christian, or supremacist, or far right. None of those things. Just a gunman. So you can see the double and triple standards in the printed media, in the electronic media, and we don't need to necessarily dwell on these things, but we need to remind ourselves that these obstacles, these challenges will always come our way, because Anbiya alayhim as-salam faced greater discrimination and greater forms of Islamophobia, but they persevered because their eye was always on the goal, which is the objective to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember Sayyidina Bilal when he kept on saying ahadun, 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 because his eye was on the ball, his eye was on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So our challenges will not stop today. And even though people will support us and they will reassure us, but these things will continue. And this is the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that do you think that you will not be trialed, you will not be tested? Of course you will. Until you reach your grave, you will continuously be trialed and tested, but in various forms and various manners as well. So this is something that we need to remember, that you know, it's not just because we're living in this country and the tragedy hasn't happened to us or in our area, doesn't mean we're safe, or doesn't mean we can, you know, take off our cloaks and everything and take aramna zindagi guzara and think that's it. No. Challenges are constantly there, and we need to be prepared for those challenges and for all of the events that may come in our way. And at the same time, the ninth point is to remember that not every single person is the same. Yes, this individual, this madman, this white supremacist, this terrorist did this heinous act, and this great thing that he did, but not just like not all Muslims are terrorists, similarly not all white people are terrorists either as well, and therefore you need to be extremely selective and careful the way you interact with your neighbors, with your friends and with your colleagues, and as they support you, you need to support them as well, because when you bring out goodness in them, they will bring out the goodness in you as well. And remember, لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَ دِينَ, that we have our way and our tradition and they have their way as well, but that doesn't mean that you can't respect each other and honor each other and honor humanity the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with honor. وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ. And finally, this is the time, this is the prime time and opportunity for us to be utilizing, to engage with our family, with our friends, with our neighbors, with our colleagues. Because they will be asking, what is the significance of Jummah? Why did it happen on Jummah? What were the people doing? Why didn't they defend themselves? And this is the time for you, as Muslims, as ambassadors, to be sharing the beauty of our deen and to share with them why you are able to forgive those people, why you are able to forgive those who do all of these terrorist acts, why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you a great heart, a great ability because of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, that he forgave the worst and worst of his enemies, even those who killed his uncle and even those who did so many other heinous acts as well, to show the beauty of your deen. And you can only do that by using this opportunity as a means of da'wah and telling them the great maqam that these people will achieve. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate the rank and maqam of all of those shuhada and all of the other Muslims throughout the world, whether in Burma, Myanmar, Palestine, Syria, Yemen, etc., all throughout the world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate their rank and enable us all to find closure within all of these events and to use these events in a positive and effective manner to heal ourselves and heal our community and to remain united, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned at the beginning, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا.